It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Sound Mind broadcast with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. Hi there, Daniel.
Greetings, Mark.
Office is no longer in Kirkland and Edmonds, but in Arizona and online.
Yeah. Online.
All of your counseling these days is virtual as you have relocated to Arizona and getting ready for a new year here. And you kind of want to go over some of the basics of Daniel Pryor's counseling services, your counseling work.
Yeah, familiarize people with what I do. It is my whole approach is Bible based. Getting into counseling many years ago. It's almost 30 years ago now. Professional, and before that was kind of para ministries in the church. My wife and I were both involved in, but there was a lack in the church back then. There still is, but I think there's a lot more counseling in the church now than there would have been like 40 years ago. And so there was quite a lack, and also it seemed like it was either or. If it was counseling, it was secular counseling, or it was really trimmed down pastoral counseling, where it was a matter of just scriptures and prayer and trying to hang in there. And I just noticed a lot of people that I knew and that I was aware of that had serious problems, for example, addictions. And it was a little more complicated than just memorizing some scriptures and prayer. Not that those aren't fundamental, they are. But there were some other things that went along with that. And the idea of finding those other things in scripture, clothed in phrases like taking thoughts captive and laying aside every weight from Hebrews. And those things actually have a lot of information in them. And so when it's kind of bringing those scriptures out and finding that any counseling that really works is going to have its roots in scripture. And so one of the things that we've talked a lot about on the show over the years, the purpose, and I stress purpose of marriage, which I think is a general lack in the body of Christ, understanding the purpose of marriage.
You've said that you think it's too much about the process and it needs to get back to more starting with the purpose.
Right. Yes. Because as I've said often, process follows purpose. Just like the builder's axiom, similar to that, where form follows function, process follows purpose. And so a lot of people are trying to work on the process. What can we do different to feel better or have a happier marriage? Always tweaking the process instead of, first of all, understanding the purpose, to say it just very briefly, is about addressing our fallen nature for the purpose of perfecting the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. So marriage is not just a romantic thing between a man and a woman. Secular marriage, yeah, but biblical marriage has to do with our service to the body of Christ. And so that's why it's important to understand and participate in the process of marriage, because it's not just about getting along. It's about something that God is doing in the body of Christ. And so we have to, so I help people to understand that. And there's more to it. Actually, I think I'm on target to get this book finished this year. I'm sure trying. I've got a few more chapters to write. And it is going to be on the purpose of marriage and then the process of marriage. And so a lot of the things that we go over today.
You do both. I mean, you do a lot of process of marriage stuff too.
Oh, yes.
But you think we're neglecting the purpose, which really should come first.
Right. Yeah. Because the process actually only makes sense. The process only actually makes sense if we understand the purpose, because let's face it. I mean, marriage is difficult. And you know, we could ask the question, why did God not create it differently? Why didn't he create man and woman to think alike and to reason alike so that we wouldn't have so many arguments? But he did not, and the reason was that there was a purpose for marriage, and so the process is what it is because of the purpose, because it's to deal with our fallen nature and for the perfection of the body of Christ. And so when I'm talking to people, counseling people, I do go into that in some depth. But yes, the process, then the process makes sense, and then we work on the process. So the addressing the fallen nature and for the benefit of the body of Christ involves all of the following, all of the things that I wanted to kind of like address or mention, talk a little bit about today. And they're sort of like one is built on top of the other. The first one, which is probably the first model, first part of the model that I started to develop, it's been, boy, it's been 30, almost 40 years ago now. It's called Life Perspectives. And in this, we acknowledge the fact that because we're mortal, our fundamental or primary drive is safety and security. And so this Life Perspectives model begins with the assertion that we're all afraid and we're all ashamed. All human beings have fear and shame. That's because we're mortal. And scripture says that when Adam and Eve sinned, their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked, which we can infer from that they were created naked. And that just doesn't talk about nudity. It talks about vulnerability. And so they were created, but when they sinned, their eyes were opened and then they realized that. And so the fun, and so it's true of all of us. We have that fallen nature, and that implies our fear and shame. So life is a pursuit of trying to address those things, and we address them by pursuing to be valued. Everyone wants to be valued. Everyone wants to have control over circumstances and situations that impact their life. It's important to realize when I say control, it's not about controlling other people, although that becomes
Sure.
the result of it
We all
because
know a control freak. Maybe it's us.
That's often the case when people say somebody else always has to be in control, and I want to play the advocate and say, well, what would be wrong if they're always in control? And then, of course, the answer is, well, then I can't be in control. So it's sort of like the pot calling the kettle black always. But the Life Perspectives, it talks about that pursuit of value, control, and resources. I call it power, but you could say resources. So if I have all the value and all the control and all the resources that I feel that I desired, I would feel more immortal than mortal. I wouldn't feel my limitations. I wouldn't see my limitations. So from that, so that's a tool that I, and it's actually quite a large tool. I'm just kind of hitting, this is a thumbnail sketch of it. So we talk quite a bit in depth, and it's one of those, it's like fundamental to my approach. So it's something that people we talk about first, and then it comes up again and again, because one of the things that I try to do with people is to get them on board to certain terminology and a certain I would say lens, a way to look at life. And when they start looking at life in that way, a pursuit of value, control, and power, and they kind of get that in their head, then the rest of all the tools just kind of fall into place and they all make sense. All of the.
And these tools too are not just applied in marital counseling situations. You use all these same ideas in individual situations too.
Individuals, all relationships. This Life Perspectives, I like to say, explains all human behavior. And I can go into depth on that with people and have some, you know, in-depth examples about, you know, even if I move my hands while I'm talking, that's a behavior that has something to do with the pursuit of value, control, and power. So some of those connections, it's good to be able to have examples like that show that it's an absolute, it seems to be an absolute truth that there's really no behavior that we have that doesn't have something to do with value control and power. And then from there, another tool that we talk a lot about is personality and understanding how personalities work, because every conflict in a relationship might go beyond that, but let's just say every conflict in a relationship, and certainly every conflict in a marriage, is in fact a personality conflict. And we tend to think of personality conflicts as different, but personality is where our behaviors are rooted. And when we talk about the pursuit of value, control, and power, the core of every personality is about safety and security. That's our primary drive, safety and security. And so that's the core of every person's personality. So I talk to couples about where personality begins, like how it can begin in the womb, and how it progresses, and it begins to take shape depending upon the environment and how we learn to interact with our environment to get some kind of reaction response from the environment that gives us a sense of safety and security. Children cry to get food. They cry to get attention. They cry to get their diaper changed. But not all kids cry the same amount, and not all kids sleep the same amount. And so we begin there and talk a little bit about how personalities develop, and then how that all of our choices, as even in choices in relationships, have to do with that safety and security.
And you talk too about personalities that become, well, you've used the term
disordered
personalities. I mean, obviously, yeah, we think of that a personality disorder, like, you know, yeah, ultra narcissist or whatever.
Yeah. And so the personality disorder, I do differentiate, because the idea of the 10 personality disorders, it's easy to slip into the assumption that there are 10 kinds of being very, very abnormal, but everybody else is normal. But I think it's more true that every person can be, every personality can be disordered. It's somewhat situational. What they would talk about a personality disorder, where people are locked into a kind of disorder, is primarily they get locked into the disorder because they don't have relationships, and they can't have relationships because they're locked into the disorder. And I use a diagram of triangles and bisected triangles that people have seen. There's actually an article at ChristianCounselorsForum.com. That's ChristianCounselorsForum.com. And there's an article there in the archives. You have to just kind of scroll down and look for the one on personalities. I think the title is Myths of Personality, or having something to do with that. And so it's a broad conversation. It's a broad field of discussion in that article. But I talk about personalities and the core of the personality really having to do with beliefs about myself regarding my safety and security, which is difficult, or it's not common to think about your personality as a system of beliefs about your safety and security. Anyway, this is one of the tools. Mike, touch on that a little bit more after the break. Then I've got a couple more, and then I also wanted to kind of hit on the practicum if we have time.
Okay. Talking with Daniel Pryor, life coach and counselor, and kind of a review of his approach to counseling, overall review. If you are intrigued by his approach to this subject, you need marital counseling, individual counseling, he's there to help. And all your counseling now available online through virtual means and different ways to do that. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
The phone number is 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. These radio shows are podcast at BibleBasedCounselor.com. And Zoom, which is convenient, I find, for many, many people.
Okay, back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor, counselor and life coach. You know, anxiety and depression contribute to every type of psychosis, behavioral problem, and even many health issues. Unchecked, they can ruin your life. But you don't have to let that happen. If you feel that you or someone that you know is struggling with anxiety and depression, call me and let me teach you the tools to build, manage, and maintain a more wholesome lifestyle. Contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, talking with Daniel today about kind of an overview, a 40,000-foot view of how he does counseling, the different aspects. And again, reminder that Daniel is all virtual now. He's located in Arizona. Are you going to pick up some clients in Arizona as well, or are you going to do them all remote?
I am picking up clients here in Arizona.
Okay. Yeah. But you have taken a lot of your clients with you to Arizona via Zoom, and that seems to work really well. It's something that kind of developed during the pandemic, but it has turned out to be very productive for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were touching on personalities, and the one of the things that we talk about there is how that relationships between personalities, and of course you always want to increase the depth of your relationship, marriage relationship or any relationship. But I do a lot of marriage counseling, and again, marriage is the quintessential relationship. All relationships have a purpose in the body of Christ. Platonic relationships, brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, all relationships, they're ordained by God, and they have an ultimate purpose in the body of Christ. The marriage relationship is quintessential, but because it's two people that are biblically supposed to stay together, come heck or high water, God can work much more deeply in our spirit, and the two becoming one flesh, very, very interesting, becoming one flesh, since our destiny is spiritual, why one flesh? And I get into that with people. I don't have time to hit it today. So I talked about personalities being also, like, at their core, a system of beliefs about my safety and security, which takes me to another part of the model, which I call BEB, or beliefs, emotions, behaviors, and explaining to people that every behavior stems from an emotion, and every emotion stems from a belief. And so this helps in helping, I think, married couples understand the behavior of their spouse, not only that it's a pursuit of value, control, and power, or value, control, and resource, and that their personality is a defense mechanism and has to do with safety and security, but also that we have beliefs about ourselves, safety and security. And when my wife and I are upset with one another, our beliefs about our safety and security are being challenged. And the important thing is to look at some of those beliefs to find out that they are not true. Just because I believe this about my safety and security does not make it true. And that's where a lot of this conflict comes in, and conflict resolution is, partly understanding what that person, that other person, his spouse, is working from.
Yeah, I've heard the term the fixed false belief. We all struggle. Uh-huh. We all struggle
there
with some
of
those. Yeah.
Oh yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's our insecurities. Mm-hmm. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And so we rejoice in tribulation, and if all those things are true, they do challenge beliefs that we have about ourselves. Mm-hmm. All of this kind of culminates in the reality that relationships are psychological and emotional distances. So one of the things that we talk about a lot in marriage counseling is how people distance one another, how they push one another away without really realizing and recognizing the behaviors that push the other person away, and then what to do about those behaviors, eliminating as many of those distancing behaviors as we can, turning them around and behaving in such ways that draw us closer together. We want to increase trust. This kind of takes me to the practicum side, because A lot of what I do is counseling, but a lot of what I do is coaching. And so I have these things that we've talked about, the triad on the radio, which is building trust, forgiveness, and communion. Communion as opposed to communication. Communication is fundamental, but communication can just be the exchange of data, and people can communicate and be angry, but you can't commune and be angry. So we want to exchange in marriage. We want to exchange more than data. We want to exchange personhood. So that's going to require vulnerability, and we can be vulnerable in a relationship where we can trust, where we can forgive, and where we can have communion. So we talk a lot about that. We talk about enlarging or deepening the marriage relationship through empathy, shared reality, and shared boundaries. Allowing myself to have a physiological response, say, to my wife's experience, and that's a kind of being vulnerable, allowing that other person's experience to have an impact on you. We talk a bit about that, sharing reality.
That term boundaries, that was kind of a buzzword, I remember, a few years ago, but there is some truth there.
Yeah, well, so I talk about boundaries as not walls, not roadblocks, but pathways. I was talking to some guy the other day about setting boundaries with friends. And, you know, if boundaries are only roadblocks or dead ends, you will climb over them. But if boundaries delineate a path for the relationship, that's different. So I talk about boundaries as pathways or rules that make the relationship work. So they're not stop signs. They're not roadblocks. A proper boundary is one that channels you in a positive direction. So we talk about how to set boundaries and communicate, ways we communicate, ways we think about one another, ways we have devotions and interact spiritually, building intimacy in four ways, say intellectual intimacy, social intimacy, spiritual intimacy, and physical intimacy. And so all those things kind of it sounds like a lot and it takes some time, but I do also not just counseling in those things, but also coaching. So once we begin to get into, and it happens quickly, it's not like this takes months to get into this. The counseling that I do tends to work pretty fastly. I always like, even from the very, very first session, I want people to go home with something they can use. So there's no wasted session where it's just getting to know one another and then, okay, the hour's up and see you next week.
You're a very directive kind of counselor, I've determined.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't
you think? I mean, you have a list of things to do, a to-do list.
Yeah. I would say I am solution oriented, which doesn't mean that I'm not at all compassionate. Mm-hmm. I don't always pray with clients, but there are clients that always want to begin and close the session with prayer. And that's a wonderful thing. I tend to want to put the rubber to the road right away and give people some. People want relief when they go to counseling. They don't just want to share their story. They want to share their story, but they want some direction. And so mm-hmm. I try to make sure that every session ends with a direction to go. Could be an assignment, could be an article to read, but it is at least a concept or a lens to look through and start looking at the relationship. So that's why, starting with the purpose is huge, because that is a huge part of the lens that we create. And I like to think of my counseling sometimes as helping people develop a lens through which to see life, because it is all a matter of perspective. Mm. The idea about we joy in our tribulations, that's a matter of perspective. I can't do that if I have a wrong perspective.
Sure.
And so,
sure. Again, some of the tools, again, getting the purpose and the process going, life perspectives. That's where you get into value, control, and power.
Life perspectives, personality. I think we've done a radio show on beliefs, emotions, behaviors. We've certainly done radio shows on distance. So I think we've done radio shows on purpose, life perspectives, personality, beliefs, emotions, behavior. So people wonder, well, how do we get to those radio shows? Well, you go to BibleBasedCounselor.com, and there's on the sidebar, there's a podcast. And I apologize that they're not alphabetically or topically arranged. You just have to go down at the bottom of the page. You can scroll down and see the older podcast, older podcast, older podcast. And you just have to read the titles. But there's a lot of interesting things there. I'm sure you would find something that would interest you. I've talked about addictions, talked about, emotional stability and many different things, a lot on relationships and marriages and that kind of thing. So,
Well, maybe for the new year, people are listening and they are thinking, this is a resolution I want to follow through on and get some counseling, either for myself, maybe a personal issue going on in your life, or you've got issues with your spouse and you need some direction. Mm-hmm. You need some coaching in that department. And people are intrigued. Daniel, how do they find out more about your services?
Right. The phone number, 425-778-6169, 425-778-6169. Also can contact me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. And I did mention ChristianCounselorsForum.com. That's accessible through the BibleBasedCounselor.com website. So that you can contact me through that phone number, 425-778-6169, or the BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay, and again, all counseling is virtual now, online, either Zoom or some other method, and
Right. It's
working well. Daniel, zooming in today from Arizona, Sound Mind Broadcast with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with Life Coach and Counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.